The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
And you're eating your soup.
The Soccer Soup back again with the U.S. men's national team starlet right now in Daryl DK, all over the news, all over the headlines, scoring goals, bagging braces. I mean, he's doing it all right now, and we got him here for you. Welcome in, Daryl. What's up, pal?
Thanks for being on, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Where are you at right now?
So I'm in Barnsley. I've been in Manchester for like the past like weekend.
I was seeing some photos flying around the internet of you yeah. Gallivanting around.
Yeah. So no, I'm back in Barnsley right now though.
Was Manchester, more importantly?
That was good. Like, I mean, like we didn't really do that much. We just kind of like walked around. He showed like I was with Zach and then one of his friends was there. So like we were just like walked around the city. Show me a restaurant.
So you're with a resident celebrity at that point. What's that look like? A little bit different?
I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, like, I was trying not to like, you know, be like, oh wow, like Zach and stuff like that. You know, like I'm just kind of like chilling, like kind of like as a homie, but I mean like, no, he's cool. He's cool. So
did you feel like that on the inside though?
Maybe like at the very beginning, I was like, whoa, like, I'm chilling with Zach Steffen. Like, what's going on? and then like after a while, because I was there for like 2 days or 3 days. So like after a while, you know, I was just like, all right.
Oh, you're normal. You ain't that cool.
You ain't that cool.
And you know what's crazy is he's probably thinking the same thing as you at this point, man. The hottest guy on the market. No. Yeah.
Daryl, you've been doing the rounds a little bit. Did you get any media training while you were at UVA? This seems like it's kind of all of a sudden.
No, not really. I mean, I think they like told us like a few things to like do and not to do, but like in honesty, like no, not really. I just kind of act myself. I guess I just kind of act myself and say whatever and. I don't know, that's just how I am. Yeah.
That's the best way to do it. That's the only way to do it. It's we obviously did a little research and we were, you know, reviewing your career and how you kind of jumped into this and it all happened pretty fast, didn't it? I mean, you were almost a year ago still at UVA, drafted in January, and now sitting in Barnsley, walking around Manchester with Zach Steffen, thinking about plotting your next move. I mean, does it ever hit you just how quick it happened?
No, it does. Like, because sometimes, you know, I kind of sit there and think like, wow, you know, my life has just changed, you know, just completely. Because I mean, 18 months ago, I had just gotten drafted. And even like a year ago today, I hadn't played my first professional match because of COVID and stuff like that. So I hadn't played until, you know, August. And so like just how quickly everything has changed is just like sometimes I'm like, wow, like that's, you know, just kind of like how far, you know, football could take me in terms of, you know, playing with Orlando and then, you know, getting my first national team cap and then, you know, now playing in England. So, I mean, now everything's gone crazy so quick.
Did you, I mean, we all have dreams, right? When you're coming out of college, did you expect this? Not expect, that's the wrong word. Was this your goal to get over to England and to play this well and to kind of take this path, or you were just going to take it as it comes?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of like a mix of both. So, you know, from a young age, you know, you always, you know, you turned on your Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and, you know, like the Prem is always on, and, you know, English football is always on. So, like, that's kind of how I've kind of grown up watching that and kind of thinking, wow, I really want to play like that. I really want to be able to, you know, play in those leagues and, you know, play with these top players. And then, you know, when I first started with Orlando, I'm being honest, I did not know what to expect, you know, and I knew it was probably going to be difficult because just from looking at, you know, past drafts and, you know, past rookies and stuff like that, you know, not everybody does very well. And not saying I did like incredible, but, you know, not everyone does very well. And some people, I was prepared to kind of know that I'll struggle at the beginning, which, you mean, at the beginning, I didn't get rostered for the first, I don't know how many games, right. But yeah, you know, and
well, let's be honest, kind of, Orlando was also an absolute dumpster fire for a while there too as an organization, which that's the reality. Like, they were struggling to figure it out.
Let us say it. You can't say it. We'll say it for yeah. you.
So when you go there, what was Poppy like? I mean, how did that, I mean, that's a transition in and of itself. I mean, he's intense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he, Fabian, Josema, Diego, yeah. like all of them, very, very intense. Like, I had nothing. I had nothing really to compare it to because obviously it was my first, you know, professional coach. But just like from being there, obviously the transition to college is like, wow, these guys are, you know, pretty intense. And then after talking with the other guys and stuff, like Nani and other players who have, you know, been playing for a while, they also agreed that the coaches were very, very intense. But I mean, you could also tell that, like, I think it helps. Because, I mean, like, you can see how, you know, Orlando's done in the past versus, you know, what we did last year, you know, how they've already started off this year. And I think, like, yep. I think Oscar is kind of, like, a big part of that. And I think it's good to have someone like that, you know. So, for me, it's good for me because it kind of threw me in the deep end, kind of let me know, like, okay, this is how the expectations are to, you know, succeed, to be good. You know, if you have a coach like that who kind of is already pushing you from the get-go and, you know, trying so hard to make sure you're operating at the top of your level, it's kind of, you know, it's good to start off with that, you know, rather than starting low and then build mm-hmm. your way up. You know, I'd rather mm-hmm. just, you know, toss in.
What was something that Oscar was always getting on you about that you can remember? What was
he always? Well, they all got on to me about different things. So Oscar's main thing was just my movement. He always was talking. He was like, you know, you're a big guy and stuff like that. So I think, you know, in terms of your movement, you know, you can be such a good player, you know, with your movement. And I think that's something that I have gotten so much better at. And I think, you know, throughout my life, I've always kind of been one of the bigger person people and, you know, kind of always used my athleticism. And he was kind of, someone was like, okay, listen, like, you, I can tell, like, you're, you know, your brain's working, but, you know, and he just kind of started, you know, tweaking little things here and there. And that was kind of his thing. And then, you know, Josema, him and I always, every training session, you know, he'd come after and, he always worked on, you know, my, you know, similar to Oscar, but like movement, like whether it be like crosses. That's all him and I always worked on. And then Fabian always stressed me because he was like, you need to be in top shape. he is one of the, I mean, in terms of fitness coaches I've ever had, he is one of the most intense people I've ever had. And not even just me, like after talking to like Nani, talking to like Dom and those guys, they're like, yeah, he is the most intense fitness coach that I ever had. Like, so like squats every day, running preseason, like three trainings a day, like only one of them with a ball. Like, oh, it was, that sounds like fun.
That's what you walked out of. You walked out of a UVA frat house straight into three a days.
Yeah, I was sitting there and I was like, well, because I had already mentally prepared myself. I was like, okay, I know this is going to be hard, blah, blah. And then next thing you know, it's, we're going to Cancun, and I'm like, man, like, this is great. We're going to Cancun. And all the other guys are like,
looking at me,
like, dude, like, they're like, dude, like, you don't want to go to Cancun. And I was like, why? Like, it's going to be fun. And they're like, no, like, we're going to run and lift weights. Like,
In the extreme beach. Heat.
Which, fair. I'd rather be doing that in Cancun than, like, doing it in Orlando. Not, obviously, like, Orlando's gorgeous. But I mean, like, you know, getting away, like, it was a nice environment. And, you know, after the beach workouts, you know, you're at the beach, so you just go in the water. So that was nice. But, you know, that was kind of the first thing, you know, getting tossed in and just kind of being like, okay, so this is kind of how the next step is. It's work. It is a lot of work. I mean, I was ready for it, you know, and I'm happy for it as well.
And it happened quick. That was pretty. Who was your crew in Orlando when you got there? You mentioned Nani a couple times. So, you know, did he take you under his wing a little bit?
Yeah. So, like, well, in terms of, like, actual, like, so, like, on the field, in terms of that, it was, you know, Dom, Nani, you know, Dom and Nani were the main ones. Nani always was in my head. He always, every single training, it was me, him, Josema, and then one of the younger guys, Jordan Bender. Like, we'd always be doing stuff, you know, after training. We'd all, you know, Nani was almost like another coach to us. So, he was like, you know, father. And then Dom, before he unfortunately got injured, you know, he did a lot of things as well. And no, it's great to have guys like that. And then in terms of people who I hung out with off the field, I mean, I hung out with most of the younger guys. So Jordan Bender, Joey Desart, Benji Michelle, Debbie Luera, you know, so I hung out with one of them, and Kamal Miller before, you know, now he's at Montreal.
Yeah. Dom, I've seen Dom work in the off season and at practice. I mean, he was a hard worker. That was his MO. I mean, that's how he knew what he had to do to be good in the league. Was Nani the same at this part in his career? I mean, was he out practicing his craft? Was he somebody that you looked at, or was he more just, you know, helping you on the mental side and what you should be doing, basically?
No, for sure. I think it's so it's funny you mentioned that. So, like, Dom and Nani, in terms of helping me, they both kind of did things in different ways. I think Dom kind of always helped me with the mental side. Because me at the beginning, you know, I knew it was going to be hard, and he could tell, obviously, like, you know, at the beginning I was, you know, getting frustrated because, you know, I was working really hard. I was trying to, you know, stay after training, do all these extra things. You know, I'm just naturally pretty hard on myself, and Dom just kind of pulled me aside and was like, listen, dude, like, just keep working, like, your time will come. And, you know, he just kind of kept telling me all these things, you know, more on the mental side to kind of help drive me, help get, you know, kind of the working mentality in that way. And then Nani was more like the footballing brain in terms of my movement, my technique and things like that. Cause he always, you know, he'd always tell me, of course, he'd be like Lukaku. He's like, you see guys like him. He's like, I promise you, if you do this, 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 and this, like, you will be as good as him, you can do. And so, you know, having someone like that who obviously, you know, played Champions League, you know, won Premier League and, you know, done a whole bunch of things like that to be able to tell you those things and go out of his way to work is really good. But to, like, go back to your question, I'm sorry.
Just no, this is good. This is good.
to go back to your question. Yeah, no, like, Nani, you know, you would think, like, oh, he's, you know, the stereotype of, you know, people coming back to MLS to, you know, relax and stuff like that, which is just false. But he is someone that works so hard. You can still see him after training. He'll go and, you know, he'll take his free kicks. He works on his, you know, cutting inside the box, doing little drills and stuff like that just by himself. And you can see that even at the age of, what, 34, he still tries to improve. And that's something that, you know, watching that, you're just like, okay, you know why he operates at the level he does and, you know, why he does the things he does, because he, you know, he trains for it. And I don't doubt that he's, you know, just now starting at 33, 34 to train like that. I feel like he's probably done that majority of his career, you know?
That's a good example. I'm curious, you know, to back that up. That's pretty cool of Dom. I mean, if you think about it, to have somebody that, you know, you're going for his position essentially, right? I mean, you're a center striker, he's a center striker, and for somebody to go up to you, you know, and help you out, and we all know that. I mean, that's important. So my question is this. That happens a lot in the MLS. I feel like I used to do that to younger guys. I'm sure Dan did it. Sal, you're probably doing it now, you know, help out the younger guys. Does that happen in England? Because I heard, you know, and I haven't played overseas, but I heard it's cutthroat. And I don't know if anybody's coming up to you and giving you the same, you know, encouragement and advice as they would in the MLS. Is that true? Or can you speak on that?
I can't speak for entirety England, but I can speak for Bronze, because, you know, that's what I've seen. And for the most part, the team's already a pretty young group as it is. So, like, in terms of, you know, our starting lineup, I think most guys are 23, 24, 25. And then Colley's like 27. Sully, if he starts, is 30. So, I mean, like the whole, you know, the whole squad's pretty young as it is. But no, I think when I first came to the team, that was kind of one of the first things I was kind of surprised, because kind of similar as you said, I mean, Nani had even kind of, you know, told me about this before coming. He was like, listen, like, in England, it's going to be hard. He was like, some players are not very nice. He was like, I'm just going to let you know, like, what me and, you know, other guys around here do. You're not, you may not find that over there in England, you know, and same with not even just the players, but the staff, you know, sometimes, you know, they're going to be very, very difficult on you. But I think in terms of Barnsley, I think the coaching staff has kind of done a really good job to kind of come, you know, up to me and try and work on, you know, specific things. And, you know, Colley, the striker as well, he's kind of told me, you know, many tips to, you know, kind of get by in the league and, you know, improve in the league, which is really good. So, and, you know, now in terms of, you know, being direct competition, Colley, you know, him and I, you know, we play together a lot, you know, a lot of games, you know, we're starting together. So it's great to have, you know, people like that around. And I think in terms of the, I think people realize that the competition is good. I think obviously competition is good, you know, it pushes people to get better, but at the same time, you can't let it get in the way of, you know, the game, in the way of, you know, playing. And I think collectively, you know, in your best interest, to, you want to go out of your way to, you know, just, I personally think it's, you know, it's a good thing to go help other people regardless, but also, you know, like for the good of the team, you know, that person being better will ultimately make the group do better, make you do better. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's something that's good.
Yeah. Changing gears a little bit. Daryl, you come from a bit of a soccer family, right? Your sister plays for Nigeria. You have a cousin that plays, and then obviously Bright DK, who I played with in Portland. How big of a, you know, influence was that? You know, because you guys are a pretty big age gap there. So when he was playing at Portland, you know, maybe you were, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old. Were you a Timbers fan? Did you watch or go to any of the games?
Oh, yeah. I think in terms of influence, you know, football has kind of been, and soccer has always kind of been in my, you know, family's culture everywhere. So I mean, my parents, you know tons about the game. And you said, you know, my only brother and my youngest sister, they both play, but everybody, all my sisters, you know well about the game. And I think it's good, because everybody kind of, it's a footballing culture. You know, you go home and you see the medals, you see the trophies, you see it on TV, there's always conversations about it, there's, you know, some people in our house, you know, supported different teams. So there'd be that kind of feedback, and it's good. And for me, when, you know, growing up from a young age, I mean, Bright's 12, 13 years older than me, you know? So like, you know, for me, he's kind of always been my, you know, direct, you know, inspiration, you know, person that I could always look up to. Cause I mean, I was following his career all the time, because I mean, obviously he's my brother, and he kind of is what I, you know, what I aspire to be, and, you know, what I aspire to, you know, surpass when I grew up to his level. And I think it's good for me, because being able to see him, you know, get knocked down through a few injuries, and, you know, see, you know, the kind of experiences he had, whether it be with Portland, Toronto, or when he went overseas, you know, it's good for me, because I kind of was able to witness that and kind of learn from that and grow and, you know, be able to not only just watch that as a, you know, footballer, but like, you know, as a brother, and be able to see how it was truly affecting his life.
Can you imagine those 1v1 duels in the backyard? What's the age difference between you guys?
So Bright's, what is he, 34?
Bright's Kim, my age, yeah.
Yeah, Bright's 34, Kim's 31, Courtney and Brittany are both, what, 26 and 27. So, I mean,
jeez. You know,
all of who's winning a push-up contest? Because, I mean, that's contest. Really where we settled all bets in Ireland.
He's beefing up.
I think it might be me on that one.
Bright was a big boy, man. I'll tell you what.
Bright was a beast. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I've tried to fight that dude so many times when I was younger. And I'm not going to lie, he just whooped me every single time. But now it's a fair competition. Now it's a fair competition. I caught
he
up
ain't
to
trying
it.
To flex now.
I caught up. That experience comes in handy, though. You got to watch out for that.
Yeah, I know. He's getting like the old man.
Oh, yeah, the dad strength.
The older
dad
guy.
Strength.
The dad. That's yeah, what yeah. Dad like, the dad. It's like my dad.
We know
my
it
dad,
all too well, Daryl. We know it all
I was going
to
say, my dad. See, my dad's not the biggest guy, but I still will not mess with that dude. I know that dude will smack me up. Oh, my goodness.
It's always going to happen.
No, for sure. It's some dad strength. I guess like when you – you just magically just get the strength out of nowhere. And I just don't have it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the never give up gene. Cause you don't have a choice. You have to wake up every single morning and deal with kids. You do not have a choice. So once that happens, it's like everything else is easy.
For sure. And I also think it's kind of like,
Daryl, Gordo was talking a little bit about when you were coming out, kind of aspirations, right? And aspirations in playing over Barnsley. I'm interested more in this process that you went through and getting drafted and going to Orlando and coming out of college, right? The whole college narrative has taken a little bit of a knock recently. Like, kids can't go to college and play college soccer and then be successful. And now here you are, I think, completely dispelling that myth, right? Which I'm a big proponent. I went to college, I was at Georgetown and played, but the game is now different, right? So now here you are at UVA and you're thinking about, okay, what's my next step? I'm going into MLS. Am I going to have success? Are there players that you were looking at, that you were watching do similar things that you wanted to model kind of your pathway after? Or did you just think, okay, I'm going to get in here and I'm going to tear it up, and I'm going to tear it up whoever's going to give me the first opportunity?
No. Yeah. And I think, you know, not even just college, I think from a young age, you kind of see that a lot. Cause for me, I'm from Oklahoma, so there's no academy, there's no DA, there's nothing, none of that. And for me, you know, you look at all these, you know, youth national team camps, you see guys like Mark McKenzie, you see, you know, Paxton, you see all these guys, and you're like, wow, all these guys are
getting hype early,
and stuff like that. You know, I'm trying to think what his name, Andrew Carlton, at a young age, he was like the face of guys my year. And so, you see all these guys and you look at them, and you're like, oh, they all play at academy. and you're playing like club, like playing high school. Right. And you're like, wow, so I guess I will never be able to do that, you know? But no, and you do kind of sit back and you just kind of think, it's like, you know, that may be the path that they took. But, you know, you also recognize, like, for me, it was my brother. You know, I was able to see my brother, you know, he did the same thing. He went to college. He played professionally, unfortunate injuries and stuff like that. But, you know, I think he was able to, you know, live out his dreams. And I think for me, I just kind of realized, you know, maybe I do have to work a little bit harder. Maybe I have to do other things that these other people did not have to do. But I think, you know, just kind of work and keep pushing myself and, you know, things will work out in the end. I think, for me, you know, going to UVA was a big step. And, you know, I was just kind of showing myself every single training session, every single game, you know, how can I get better? How can I improve? Because I knew no matter what path, you know, I knew the end goal, what I wanted. And I knew, you know, that I would have to do, you know, I'd have to work extra hard. I know I'd have to do a lot of these things to, you know, be able to achieve those goals. And that's kind of was my big driving force. And, you know, having my brother, having my family behind me to support me, and not even just my family, you know, coaches from home, UVA coaches, and, you know, players around me to, you know, kind of drive me to that was literally the reason I'm here where I am right now.
Yeah. What was your brother's advice to you? I mean, he's done it, right? And yeah. So, and he saw the game change, you know, as he was playing in it. So what did he advise you to do? And I mean, was he your source or your dad?
So, I mean, both of them are my source. I think Bright probably more was it, but no, Bright's thing was just kind of keep working and be so good that, you know, people can't deny you of what you want, if that makes sense. You know, be so good.
That's great advice.
Be so good that people can't look at you and, you know, think, oh, this, or, you know, maybe he's not good enough for this, or, you know, they're thinking like, okay, we have to play and we have to get
basically score goals because then they can't not play you.
You know, do things like that, yeah. You know, just, and for me, that was kind of his thing, is, you know, giving me pieces of advice, you know, in terms of, you know, movements or, you know, ways of thinking about the game that, you know, a normal, you know, what was it, 18, 17 or whatever, at the time, you know, may not be thinking about that. And, you know, things that he had learned like later on throughout his career that he was like, hey, trust me, like if you do this early, if you start, you know, getting the hang of this, you know, holding up the ball, if you start doing this early, you know, people will love that and it'll make your life so much easier. So, you know, being able to kind of have those tips and learning those things at a younger age from someone who's kind of been there and knows, you know, what to expect is, you know, kind of something that he kind of always reminded me to, you know, use your resources and, you know, use all these things like him.
That's good. I mean, sorry, Dan, but that's good advice. He's basically, it was less about the path. He said, don't worry about the path, worry about yourself. And if you're a baller, like things will happen. You'll make it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty badass. I like that.
The path takes care of itself if you
control what you control, right? That is great advice. When you were going, before we get to Barnsley and before we get to that path, I thought that, and I'm sure you've rehashed this a million times over the past few weeks, but when you got first your national team call up and then the timing of the loan deal to Barnsley and all this stuff happens within like a 48-hour period, right? Who was the call? Who's the call that you made to say, okay, is this happening? Should I do this? Which way is up right now? Because it seemed like it was, you were getting, I mean, drinking from a fire hose all at the same time.
Yeah. No. And I think this person has kind of been a celebrity in this conversation. Bright again, I talked to him. We talked to him mostly, and then I talked to, the rest of my family, talked to, Coach Bailey, one of my coaches from home, and, just kind of thought of, this was a huge opportunity for me. This was a big opportunity for me, but for me, I kind of told all of them, like, I want to focus on, the national team. I've been here for a while because it was January camp, so I'd been there for a very, very long time. And I was like, yeah, I want to focus on this. I could potentially get my first national team cap, So that, like, let alone all the Barnsley and, going to play over there, I was like, I could get, something you work for. I think every single player kind of works for in their entire career to be able to, represent a country and, represent the national team in, a huge pool of, American players across the world, not even just the country. So for me, that was...
Was there any consideration for Nigeria?
I mean, yeah. I mean, of course, I think for me, I was just because, like, obviously Bright and my cousin played for them. And I think, people, I recognize that, I can play for both and stuff like that. But for me, I was just... see where my career kind of took me, and USA came and taught, like, to kind of like integrated me and showed me things around and kind of taught me. So that was just kind of where the first place that kind of turned my head. And I mean, I don't regret it. I'm happy with how things have gone as well for that. But yeah.
And that call up was in Orlando, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in Orlando. So it was literally,
that's wild. Yeah,
it was literally in Exploria Stadium. So that happened. Yeah. And then after the game, I mean, I was, literally like out the next day coming to Barnsley, and, luckily I had all my things cause I was in Orlando, but I mean, I could only imagine if I was like across the, cause obviously there are guys from LA or,
Yeah.
Or so, I could only imagine if I had to travel across the country, then pack my things and then go. So, but I mean, luckily I was already in Orlando and it was already it was preseason as well. So, I mean, I wouldn't have been doing that much. It wasn't preseason. Preseason hadn't even started yet, actually, but.
Right. Yeah. Right. Cause it's COVID year too.
Yeah, exactly. So everything got pushed back. So, cause I mean, they didn't start preseason till like a month or two ago. Like they didn't start, it took them a while to start preseason. So this was all the way in, end of January.
That's great. I mean, have you had a chance to talk to Josie at all? Was he in camp with you in any camp? Because I know he has a similar path, right? I mean, he spent more time in the MLS initially, but he goes over and has his stint in England and then, comes back. And Josie's one of the best U.S. strikers of all time. Similar build and all that kind of stuff. I mean, do you look at him have you had that opportunity to talk to him?
Yeah, I mean, he was at camp at the January camp. So like that was kind of something as well. I think, unfortunately, I think he tweaked his hamstring, so he didn't actually get to play in the game. But, after, talking to him and being like, kind of telling him about things, because I remember there being like, rumors and other things about like me moving before in January. And so just after talking to him about all that stuff, and he was just like, listen, like, you just keep pushing, you keep working, and, the things will come, And he always kind of pushed me to get better as a player, even while I was at camp and, training me to have like competitions anytime we were doing a little finishing drill. So it's good to kind of have, a guy to look at him and, see all the things he's done and notice he's kind of similar to me and how we play, our style and everything like that to, be able to get words that he gave me. And it was good. I enjoyed that for sure.
You also, you had to play in that game too. In order for the Barnsley loan to go through, you had to step on the field, correct?
I did. What? So
what do you mean?
So I guess
work
so
permit, like, right?
Yeah, for like the work permit and everything to get it to work, because you have to play like an X amount of national team games or something like that. And because of COVID, because of COVID and then because I wasn't 21 at the time, still not 21, but because of COVID and because of like age and stuff like that. Because I was able to play in that game, I guess they were able to, you know, work things out, and then I was able to come over here.
So educate us a little bit. I know that you guys are now in the promotion battle, right? So you play on Monday, but like educate us on what the process is looking like. Your loan deal has been extended. Are you in a negotiation? Like where are we at?
So, originally, obviously the loan was till like the end of the
May
season.
May 3rd, I think.
Yeah, it's something like that. And we, because the team was in what, 12th, 13th when I first came here. So, I mean, like, not that we just didn't think they were going to make playoffs, but like, didn't know, you know. Yeah. You know, it's hard to say we're going to go and make playoffs if we're in 13th. And then, you know, after that, you know, the team has done very, very, very well. And, you know, we kind of shot up. We've been doing very well. And so extended the loan. And, you know, for now, you know, I'm just playing it out, and then obviously head back to Orlando. You know, take everything that I've learned here, and you know, grow as a player. Unless you know, other things happen, but you know, I don't really focus on that. You know, I kind of do what I can do now, and you know, focus on the playoffs now, because you know, getting up to, you know, getting promotion would be the end goal.
I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, how can you walk around the city? I mean, these guys. Everybody pays attention there, correct?
Yeah, I mean, no. And it,
can you walk around or not?
No. I can, and it's funny because it's something that's very different. Because I mean, obviously, you know, I think soccer is growing in the States. I think it's obviously huge, but at the same time, I can walk around Orlando and you know be perfectly fine. Like people aren't gonna be like, oh, it stopped me. But like here, and it's not like people will stop me. But I mean, if I go to the store, like the grocery store, like a corner store, or something like that, or like
everybody
when knows. I took like a taxi to go to Manchester, and like as I was walking to the taxi, like there was like people like eating outside a restaurant, and they all were like. Like looking over, I like waved and I was like, "Hello,"
"Hello." I see you staring at me. Yes,
yeah,
it is
and,
me.
And like, so like, no, like I can like walk around and still do things like normal. And even in Manchester, like when I went in, like with Zach, like he was still able to, you know, like walk around. And you know, obviously, like we're not able to like go out and stuff like that, especially because of like you know COVID restrictions and things like that. And you know, our seasons are still good. They're still like tight, but it's it was good for. It's good because I can still walk around and, you know, fans are nice. Like nobody's actually like harassing me or doing anything. So no, it's good.
Daryl, not to give away my age, and obviously I'm the same age as your brother, Bright, but I actually was teammates with your coach, Ismail. So strangely, oddly enough, but how has he kind of, yeah, in Hanover, the last, his last 3 years, my first 3 years. So, how has he kind of helped you kind of succeed at Barnsley and what kind of advice has he given you?
Yeah, he's kind of helped me on kind of, you know, the attitude, the kind of like work rate kind of thing. And I think in terms of, you know, you can look at the championship and you can, you know, kind of instantly see how physically demanding the league is. Because, I mean, every team has, you know, everyone must have at least 2 6'5" center backs on their team. Everybody plays with five. Yeah, it's mandatory. It's actually like,
this is gonna be fun.
It's one of the requirements for playing.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yippee.
So that was like one thing. So you can see maybe like more like a direct style of play in the championship. And that was kind of the thing he kind of prepared me for. It. He was like, okay, listen, you know, there's gonna be times where you know you're gonna get pushed, you're gonna have to fight for balls, you're gonna have to work, in terms of pressing kind of relentlessly to, you know, make the opposition uncomfortable and doing things like that. And he kind of told me, you know, little cues and little movements to, you know. Because every defender's, you know, first cue, just because of how the league is to get physical and, you know, try and do things. And kind of, he was teaching me things, you know, how I can get out of that in terms of my movement separation with defenders and, you know, doing things like that. And having that's kind of like been his main piece, is like one, the, you know, the physical side, knowing, you know, the, having the fighting mentality and pushing, you know, he always says like the having a lion mentality. So that, and then in terms of, you know, being able to, you know, find space away from people just so I don't get myself involved in, you know, physical battles all the time.
Interesting. Did you talk to any of the other guys that went over in the January window, Aronson or McKenzie? I know your buddies with McKenzie, right? So you talk about their process in kind of leaving in a COVID year?
No, so I talked to Brendan and I talked to Mark. Mark, both of them, same exact thing. They don't do anything. Like you can't do anything because, I mean – everywhere aside from United States, it seems to be in lockdown. I mean, here,
it's a free for all over here. Yeah.
But I mean, given the vaccines everywhere over there, so it's fine. Like here, people still haven't even gotten the vaccine. So like that was kind of their thing, is they're like, yeah, I don't do anything, but you know, Brendan plays Rocket League, Mark plays Warzone. So like literally you just can't really do that much aside from train and then, you know, hang out with some of your teammates. So that's obviously like the difficult part is, you know, how do you manage your time? Like, what do you do? And
yeah,
so I mean,
you're not a gamer.
Oh, he's gotta be a big gamer. Sure, yeah.
Oh, sure, what's your game?
For sure. So I play, so I'm actually still in school. So I still do some school. I'll work on that. And then I play Warzone and FIFA. So.
I like how you got that school plug out for moms. If moms, you know,
that's just for my families. Mom. That's just so my mom knows I'm not sitting here wasting my life away playing mom, I'm 17 do, hours of Warzone.
I make sure I do 10 minutes of homework and then I do 4 hours of gaming.
I eat a good meal and then I game.
Yeah, exactly. I game and do homework in between the pregame lobbies.
So game on Monday and then when's the follow-up fixture?
22nd, which is... Right.
22nd. Okay. Yeah, so it's, I think it's the 17th and 22nd.
Yeah. 17th, 22nd.
So all this stuff you've been on and I mean, in a bit of a tornado right now or a whirlwind for your life over the past couple months. And it's all seeming to come to a head here. Is this, who's your agent, by the way?
Ron Waxman.
Okay. So Waxman handles all that deal, on the business side of things and you're plugging away. Are you hoping, obviously you're hoping you're going to be in the mix. I saw you came off the bench against Nottingham, right? In the last game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a shot at being in the lineup in the 11?
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, obviously I'm being honest with you. I have no idea. I mean, usually we start finding out that those kind of things and like days leading up to the game. So, I mean, I assume I'll find out very soon, but no, I mean, hopefully I will play a part, and, you know, whether it be starting, whether it be on the bench, you know, I just kind of want to go out there and make an impact and, you know, help push the team into, you know, getting good, you know, a good result at home, because, you know, just, mm-hmm. You know, going to Barnes, let me know how, you know, obviously home field advantage, and now there's going to be a few fans as well. So be able to, you know, play in front of a few fans for the first time will be great here.
Oh, wow. That I didn't realize that dynamic. This is the first game that'll have fans in the stadium. Oh.
Yeah, it's not a lot, but I mean, obviously it'll be a few fans. So like, that'll be nice.
Anything's
for sure.
Better, right?
Yeah. Going from crickets to hearing anything will be completely
totally
different.
No, actually
can't hear your coach yelling at you from all the way across the field.
Or you just pretend you can't hear him.
I can almost guarantee you in a full stadium, I would still be able to hear him 100%.
Yeah, but you can at least pretend. Yeah. Now you got no excuses.
What did you say? Like, yeah.
I'm going to go. You have 9 goals.
Yeah. 9 goals.
9 goals. How many starting, how many off the bench? Do you know?
No, I think 12 or 13 starts, like 4 or 5 off the bench.
Okay, so kind of split. What do you prefer? I mean, every player wants to start, right? Is that even a question? You just want to start.
Yeah, I want to start.
Yeah, you're not.
You play longer, you play more. You know, I want to start, of course.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to start? But I always found like it was.
I know.
I always found like it was easier.
Yeah, I love 10 minutes in a goal. I could walk the next day. It was perfect.
Oh, I mean, like, obviously, like, that's great. If you come on at the end of the game and you score, you're like, oh, wow. Well, that was.
Yeah, right.
You're like, all right, happen. I'll take that.
But, doesn't happen, you know, often enough.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's just like, you know, I enjoy playing.
Well, all right. Well, good luck. I mean, you know, this is what a massive moment. And I'll tell you what, man, I know that you've probably heard this a few times, but a lot of people are pulling for you back here in the States and want to continue to see your success. So it's inspiring what you're doing, especially at the age that you're doing it. And all the advice, I think it probably clarifies, you know, a couple of things for us in your upbringing and keeping you grounded, why you've had so much success. So stick with that type of thing and you're going to go a ways, man.
Yeah. So Daryl, before we go, there's one more segment we do. It's called Plead the Fifth. We're going to ask you 5 questions. You can plead all the right. Fifth to one of them. Okay. Gordo will read the questions to you.
I got to save it to the fifth one. Cause
So, yeah, so we're gonna.
Three and four are gonna get harder. Three and four are gonna be like,
yeah.
And then six is gonna be like, oh, okay.
They're not. Yeah, they're not too crazy. Should be all right.
We took it pretty easy on
you. Yeah, we took it easy.
You know, all right. We do want to know a few things. Just give me craziest false rumor you've heard about yourself. Have you heard any?
When I was younger, people at recess used to say I put metal in my shoes because I could kick the ball really hard. So, like, some kids would sit there and this is not a lie at all. Like, some kids would go and like try and take my like shoes and stuff like that. And be like, oh, you have metal in your shoes, and that's why you can kick so hard. I'm like, no, like,
that's not how it works.
That is false.
You know, they would move.
It'd come with a metal detector to school.
Yeah, exactly.
He's super slow, but he can kick it a mile.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I mean, we kind of went over this a little bit.
Wait, do you have the old questions?
Yeah, you probably do, Gordo.
I'll read the second question.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. All right. If you could start, bench, or cut these three cities, ready? Or I guess places, Oklahoma, mm-hmm. Orlando, or Barnsley? Start, bench, cut.
I got the new questions.
I think I would start. I'd start Oklahoma just because like homebody. I'd bench Orlando and I'd probably sit Barnsley. Nothing against Barnsley. I just think Orlando kind of has a little bit of weather, a little bit more beaches and nicer weather.
Okay, fair enough.
That's fair. Good answer.
Love it. Better jersey, U.S. Men's National or Nigeria?
Nigeria. I think Nigeria, like the green and white, like checkered jersey. Oh, those are so
it's the nicest in the world, really, in my opinion.
It's clean, dude. Yeah. You know when it's Nigeria from across the bar. You're like, yep.
Oh no, those jerseys are clean.
They are.
I probably agree with
statement pieces.
Over or under 50% chance you are going back to Orlando after your stint over wherever you are. Next.
The line's 50-50. Are you taking the over or under?
Yeah, I know. I have to think about it.
Or are you taking the plea?
See, I don't know what this next question is. I'll give you
the last one's not too hard.
I'll plead the fifth on that one.
Okay.
Does Orlando have your rights? I mean, if you wanted to go back, do they have first right of refusal?
Yeah, I mean, like there's like the buyout clause and stuff like that. Yeah.
All right, so he's pleading the fifth. All right, so we know what that means.
Before we go to five, is Barnsley still in their like exclusive period? Like, does that still exist for them with the loan extension?
What do you mean by exclusion period?
Like, it's their right to purchase your rights.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so with the loan extension, they still extend that right.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Okay. If you can. Okay. This is it's a tough one.
Gordo wouldn't be able to do this.
I would definitely not. I could do give us your starting 11 for the US in the next World Cup. Okay.
The next World Cup. All right.
So Zach's in goal.
All right. So Zach's in goal.
Boy.
I think Zach's in goal.
And we don't even really care about the defenders. I mean, you can do that, but defenders are defenders.
No, we care. We care.
Attacking guys.
I think Johnny will be in the back. Man, that's hard. Center back. Who will be with John? Honestly, I think Alo is sick. I know some people like to go and be like, oh, he plays in the MLS. I think Alo is sick. I think he's very, very good.
I played with him, right. And yeah, he's the real deal.
I'm going to look him up.
Aaron Long is the
yeah.
Oh, Aaron Long.
You played with Aaron Long, right?
Okay. Yeah, Aaron Long, Serginho. I'll say Anthony.
All right.
In the midfield, I think I'll say Tyler. I'll say Tyler, Eunice, and Weston. Front three, I'd say Christian, Gio, and I'll say Josh. With me coming on the bench.
Look at that modesty. Look at that modesty.
I respect it.
I'm sorry.
Hey, that's a nice squad, dude. Are you
that is a squad.
Are you pumped about,
No, it's super exciting because, I mean, like, you know, before, like, some people would be like, oh, like, this person is just good because, like, oh, they're an American. But, like, now you actually see these guys and they're, like, actually, like, you know, not just American stars. Like, they are stars, you know, flat out, like, you know, top quality players. And not even to mention all of them, all of us are, like, 20 and 23 aside from, like, a few players. Like,
it's exciting, man. It's really, I'm pumped for it.
Yeah.
Why is you got excited talking about Aaron Long, and he is a bit of a divisive figure in opinions. Why do you love him?
What do you love about him? I think, like, one thing that you don't really get to see is you get to see, like, how much of a leader he is. I think he's, every single time you see him in, like, a small-sided game or, you know, any type of possession drill, you can see how much, like, his, you know, kind of leading persona kind of gets off. And when you're on his team, you know, you kind of feel that, and you want to push, you want to drive, and I think that's good. And also, like, I just personally respect, like, so many people, because there's so many phenomenal players who get national team caps from the MLS that, like, some people like to sit there and criticize, like, oh, they're MLS players. But I mean, like, I think there are tons of MLS players that can play in Europe. Don't get me wrong, I think that, you know, the top five leagues are better than the MLS, but, like, I still think that, you know, guys like Seva, guys like Kellen, and, you know, Alo, like, they're more than capable of doing that. And I truly love that about them, that they obviously, you know, don't let anything like that kind of, you know, get in the way of that, you know, how they play, that they still go out there and, you know, they do their thing because, you know, they know the quality that they have. And Alo, I think, in terms of, you know, how he leads, how comfortable on the ball he is, I think those are things I enjoy, you know, about him.
I know it's a different league, but kind of where does the championship kind of, you know, fit in with the MLS as far as ranking goes? You know, obviously certain things about the championship are probably harder than the MLS, but just talk about the two differences within the league.
I think obviously the style of play is much more different. I think a lot of teams in the MLS, you know, like to, you know, keep the ball on the ground a little bit more, pass it around. And I think in the championship, much more physical, you know, kind of pressing attitude and, you know, more direct kind of style of play, whether it be balls over the top or through balls. In terms of, you know, like the level, I would say the championship probably edges it out a little bit. But in all honesty, I think a lot of teams in the MLS could play in the championship and wouldn't get, like, I think they would, you know, they would hold their own. They would do very, very well. So I think that's, because that's one thing that I realized, like, obviously I knew it was going to be difficult, and I'm not going to say, like, the transition was easy, because no chance was it, and it still isn't. But, like, I think that coming from MLS to the championship, like, you know, you see how good the MLS is when you come over here, because you're like, okay. Like,
yeah, it's not as far back as you think. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Kind of how media kind of wants you to think it is, where it's actually playing.
What are the chances you come back with a slight English accent? I mean, it happens a lot. I mean, there's a lot of guys that come back and you're like, wait, what? Aren't you from, like, Kansas?
I've been here for, like, 2 months, 3 months, so I will say, like, zero.
Also locked in his apartment for 2 years.
Exactly. I haven't even had – I probably still had more conversations with people with an American accent than people with English accents here.
You're going to pick up a few things.
No, literally. I mean, like – Literally, I don't
mate,
know.
Mate, everything's
I
mate.
I do say mate more, yeah. I think I probably say that a little bit more.
I still do it. I answer the phone. I'm like, yeah. Oh, hello.
I feel like that's kind of, no, but, like, on all honesty, I think low-key that is, like, just like a soccer kind of thing.
Yeah,
I think
mate's become a soccer,
like,
thing. For
yeah,
sure.
I think it's just kind of become a soccer thing. So, like, regardless, because I mean, I feel like I said that a lot when I was, you know, when I was playing in the MLS, you know?
It's trickled down exactly. For sure. Well, Daryl, dude, thank you for coming on, man. I appreciate you taking your time and joining us. Really appreciate it.
You're top class, man. Top class. Yeah. Awesome.
Good luck. Being on here. Good luck the rest of the way, and I hope to see you as our starting nine for the national team. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, a couple more goals in the next couple of games, too. It'd be great to see it.
We'll be watching, buddy.
I will try my hardest.
All right, we'll let you go, Daryl. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, see you, big man. Daryl, DK, man, what? It's pretty wild how quick his life has changed over the past 18 months. There's a Ferris Bueller quote: "Life comes at you pretty fast." And I was gonna ask him, and I was like, you know what? This guy probably hasn't even seen the movie. He probably got no idea.
Wouldn't know what Ferris
Bueller. Ask him, dude.
It was hurting my heart, and I was like, no, I can't even do it. I cannot even
do it. It's funny you say that, because his brother actually had, you know, Bright, the one he talked about a lot, was he had a similar moment, you know, in Portland where he scored a few goals at the end of the season, kind of randomly got called into the Nigerian national team. And then he scored against like Italy or Catalonia. And like, it was just like, whoa. And then unfortunately he got injured, but it was a little wave that he was going to start climbing. And then it looks like his brother's doing the same thing. So it's pretty interesting.
We've talked about it. We've talked about it a bunch on this pod, just the the moments of confidence that you have to ride, right? Whether you're a coach or a player or whatever, he's on one of those. I mean, but you also look at his trajectory in, you know, signing with UVA and then leaving early to go to Orlando on top pick. And then he leaves and gets his national team call up. And then he's on the plane over to Barnsley and there's Everton and Leeds and he's got all these options in front of him. I mean, yeah. I fully expect this guy to be like dating Billie Eilish next week and like on his way to Hollywood. I mean, it just seems like that's the way his story is.
It's great. It's not only is he just on Barnsley too, he's like scoring a lot of goals, helping them get promoted from, you know, 2 years removed from playing at UVA, you know, in the ACC tournament. So
it's wild. But the one takeaway is he's still grounded. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's obviously, you know, gets a lot of great advice from his family members and his older brother who's been through it. So, I mean, that was my takeaway. What a great kid. Yeah. And, you know, he's living in the present. You know, he's not getting ahead of himself. He's not putting himself in the starting 11, which he probably should at this point, you know, but, you know, I think, you know, with that kind of attitude, he's going to do some really, really good things.
Yeah.
He's got some good mentorship around him, family base. And that came out loud and clear, which was awesome to see. So that was a fun chat.
Yeah.
Glad we got him on. Well done. So,
yeah. Now, thanks for listening, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed it and see you all next week.
Is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.